Here we go. You want me to start at the feet or you want me to start at the head? Because I'm really wanting to blister some of y'all's haircuts. Amen. That's right. I mean, you're in an independent Baptist church and you got a King James Bible in your hand and you got a contemporary liberal hairdo. What in the world is wrong with you? Would you boys quit trying to look like the world? Hey, you ain't as cool as you think you are. You ain't as tough as you think you are. I want to get you a haircut that's high and tight over your ears and off your collar line and look like somebody that's been to the barbershop instead of the beauty salon. Amen.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I learned the words for like beef, and then I'm like, what beef? And then they point to a giant sign of like 30 different beef dishes, and I'm like, ah. All right, just guess.
Not the dog. Yeah. Not the dog.
Yeah. Please. Yeah, I had dog once. I didn't have it, but I saw it on the menu once. It needs two more.
Did you really?
Like, yeah, like, what is that? They told me. I was like, what's that word? And they were like, bark, bark, bark. And I was like, chicken? Yeah. And they're like, no, bark, bark, bark.
Bark.
And I'm like, oh, that's all right. That's
yeah,
all right.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'll pass on the bark.
Yeah.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday after the Super Bowl. One of the most uneventful Super Bowls in history. I mean, eventful in the sense that it happened and there were commercials.
It was
and
weird.
And Kendrick Lamar was there. And so was Donald Trump and Taylor Swift. We'll get into all of that tomorrow in detail. But wow, yeah. What a blowout.
It was zero.
The Philadelphia Eagles manhandled Patrick Mahomes.
They did.
Manhandled Mahomes. Probably the best quarterback, certainly, of our, this time
shocking.
Period.
Shocking.
It really was. I don't know the first fucking thing about football, and I was shocked. Totally shocked. After the second quarter, I was like, well, this is over, I guess. I guess we're just going to all sit here and watch the Eagles. Absolutely. It honestly looked like a high school team playing a flag football team. It was like unbelievable how the Eagles tore them apart in every aspect of the game. What do they have, like 100 yards of total offense or something like that? And I don't even know what that means, Chrissy. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, going into halftime, it was like 23.
It was 23 to nothing and 30 to nothing within the third. Anyway, TCB Infomercial Tuesday. You're not here to listen to football. I know, and listen about football. I know that. If you're here to hear Brian talk about football, change the channel. Not going to do it. TCB Infomercial Tuesday with Ari Shaffir. He is here with us. I'm so excited to talk to Ari.
Yeah.
Ari is a noted comic who has many specials out there. He's been doing this for a very long time. A podcaster, longer than I guarantee you and I have even known what... I've known about podcasts for a long time. I guarantee he was doing it long before we even heard the word
podcast.
He's
been on the bandwagon early.
He has. 2015, I think, is when he started his first podcast. He's made many appearances on many different podcasts, including The Rogan Show, Tom Segura's podcast. And then he's got his own podcast called You Be Trippin', which is very good.
I've listened to it. It's
now
really
my
funny.
Fourth episode, and I've really been enjoying it. I just listened to the one with Jim Gaffigan, which I thought was really good. Wait, did you listen?
Harland. I listened to
Harland. Listened to the Harland?
Yeah,
you listened to Harland Williams. Okay, well, we'll talk
really
more
good.
About that with Ari. And now he's got his brand new Netflix special is out, America's Sweetheart. This one is got me, that one had me rolling on the floor.
Yeah, it's really funny.
He is really good at what he does. So Ari is here. We're going to talk all about it. He's also got his farewell tour. I'd like to get to the bottom of that. Why is he faring well?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Will this be an Eagle, no pun intended, will this be an Eagles type situation where Ari just says it's farewell and then he comes back 7 or 8 times? Or is this the nail in the coffin for Ari Shaffir? We will find out, Chrissy.
Yes, we will.
Because I will go right at him. I'm going to ask him the tough questions. Like, why are you calling this the farewell tour? No, if you're looking for hard-hitting interview styles where Brian talks over the guests the entire time, this is your place, my friends. This is your place. But before we get to that, I have one note. Chrissy and I last week went and saw Bill Murray and the Blood Brothers. A long time coming. I got these tickets for my brothers and for my father. to go see Bill Murray, who the entire family just really enjoys. Murray. Yeah. And we're from Chicago. There's some connections there. So my dad has been kind of putting Bill Murray in front of us since we were little kids. In the first Saturday night, early years of Saturday Night Live, all of his movie, Caddyshack. Of course, we can go on and on.
Wasn't he
Stripes.
In Stripes?
He was in Stripes. I love Stripes. Which is one of the funniest
really
fucking
is.
Movies ever. That is Bill Murray at his zenith, in my opinion. Either that or What About Bob? It just depends on which style you like. You
Groundhog
could go
Day.
Lost in Translation.
One of my favorite.
Oh, Groundhog Day. Oh, Groundhog Day.
That's my favorite.
Caddyshack. A million other movies.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters 2. Every single Wes Anderson movie he's been in.
Yes. Love those.
Which was the one about the school, the kid in the school?
Well, they're the Royal Tenenbaums.
Royal Tenenbaums was fantastic, but there was the one about the school. Anyway, you get it. He's been in a ton of those. So Chrissy and I went and saw Bill Murray and the Blood Brothers, or as we found out, the Blood Brothers ... with Bill Murray playing the tambourine. So,
and the cowbell.
And the cowbell. And he sang a few songs. We'll talk more about that later on this week also. But I thought there was an interesting little through line there when last night I was watching the Super Bowl, the big game as they call it, Chrissy, down in the Big Easy, if you don't mind. And Bill Murray popped on for about 15 seconds and gave his email address.
Yeah.
BillHimself@yahoo.com. Now, I know I was getting tricked, but I had to go along with it anyway.
You wanted to see what
I had to take the chance that we might actually be emailing Bill Murray. That Bill might have spent $4.5 million just to have people email him so he could fuck around, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of guy that Bill is. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have an agent. He only has a home phone that he never answers, apparently, in Charleston, that Chrissy and I have tried to dial a number of times.
We did.
And an email address is like one of the only ways that you can get a script over to Bill. It's like there's story after story after story about how hard it is to try and get Bill Murray to be involved in anything. So I thought, who the fuck still has a Yahoo address?
I know.
Who? No one. So clearly this is his real email address because this is the way Bill Murray would have done it. Fax machine and Yahoo email address. That's clearly what's got to be going on here.
Yeah.
So I email that fucking email address, and what comes back is the strangest fucking story about him being a dog, seeing a dog in the mirror, and then he had to go to the vet to get checked out. It's like a really weird, convoluted, complicated marketing scheme, I guess is the best way to put it, for Yahoo Mail. An effort
to bring back Yahoo.
It's not going to happen. We all have bad memories of our Yahoo accounts. We're not going back there. We all have bad memories of not being able to email, not understanding what email is, and Nigerian email scammers.
Yeah.
We all have a bad memory about trying to get $14 million out of South Africa. Okay? We all have it. Everyone's got that story because Yahoo put us in that position. And I'm sorry, Yahoo. I'm not going back. If I show up to a meeting, any meeting, even though I'm a dumb, mediocre comedy podcaster, if I was to show up to a meeting and say, yeah, my email address is Brian podcast@yahoo.com. People would laugh me out of the room. There's no serious person in the world that still has a Yahoo email address. Is there?
I don't think so.
No. Chrissy said no.
Even further back is AOL.
Oh, don't even get me started on AOL.
AOL.com.
I actually just emailed with a guy who had an AOL
email
address.
Yeah, people still have them. It's crazy.
I think AOL is still sending out those discs. 4 free hours of internet. Download now.
Yeah.
And then it would take you 3 hours to get the disk to load onto your computer. Listen, those were the early pioneers of the internet, but they just kind of mishandled the whole situation. Didn't Yahoo get bought by somebody? I don't know. I had a friend who worked for Yahoo for the longest time. He was like, he would make banner ads for Yahoo.
Sure.
Not for their clients, but for Yahoo. And he would make like the tiles that would show up on the homepage. And he was really good at what he did. He was like a really good designer. And Yahoo paid him a dick shit of money to do this day after day, night after night. He would create them like 5 in a day. And Yahoo apparently was a great company to work for.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, Yahoo fell out of favor. And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, they were a whole like homepage. You could get onto there and see all your news and weather and all of that and check your email.
Yeah.
And then we all migrated away.
We all migrated to Google, where now they just, I don't know, it just says Google on it. It doesn't give you any information. It just says Google.
Yeah.
But Yahoo was so embedded in my life that I remember feeling, you know, there's like certain brands that you buddy up to. You really feel like, you know, you're you're there. That's my brand. Loyal. Those are my, yeah. Like Bud Light was my brand for a while, right? I really liked Bud Light. I wouldn't drink anything else if I had the choice. I was a Bud Light guy. When I walked in and I saw that blue box, I knew that was mine. And she knew I was hers and I knew she was mine, you know, that yes. kind of thing. Yahoo, I had that same sentiment with for a while because, you know, Jamland Productions at yahoo.com.
Jamland. I forgot.
By the way,
your foray into was it
music
EDM?
Live music production. Yeah. Yes, we would put on festivals and live EDM concerts at clubs, fashion shows, / Grateful Dead shows, / yeah. EDM concert. Yeah. Hey, it's just that we're just a little bit ahead of our time with that one. But Jamland Productions at yahoo.com, probably still out there somewhere, I would imagine. But I felt like some kinship with Yahoo because they were my, you know, email service provider. Sure. But I think once I got a BlackBerry, it just all turned to shit. I thought, I don't need that Yahoo anymore. But, you know, strange thing about Jamland Productions, that name is actually still alive and kicking with the...
I'm sure.
With That's, Pete. The
yeah.
guy. The,
oh, right. With your guy.
Yes, with the DJ. He's still putting on shows under the name Jamland Productions. There you go.
We must go check one out.
We must. You know who else is putting on shows?
Who's that?
Ari Shaffir is putting on shows. Yes, he's on tour. He's on his farewell tour. He's hitting a bunch of different cities, including Atlanta. So we'll have to have a conversation with him about that. We'll angle for free tickets. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Ari is very popular. He's got many specials out there on YouTube. You can go to arishafir.com for all of the information. I will put links in the show notes. You can also check out his new special, America's Sweetheart, which is doing apparently well on Netflix. It pops up. I don't know if Netflix just like throws those things in front of me. It's probably an algorithm, right?
Yeah, it is.
That you like this, so
I read
you'll
about
like
it
that.
A while back,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. They're fucking with me like the rest of the internet is. Okay.
It's all an algorithm.
Well, anyway, you might have to go searching for it, but Ari Shaffir has a new special called America's Sweetheart, and it is very good. You should go watch it. We're going to talk to Ari about all of his comings and goings and maybe ask him about a few pop culture things and see what get his temperature.
Let's do it.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
We'll take a break, Chrissy. Let's do this. Let's take a break. And then through the magic of telepodcasting, we're going to have Ari right here in studio on that TV, live and in person in front of us. We get to ask all the questions. Are you have your questions ready?
I'm down with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take notes. We'll take a break and we'll be back.
Rachel here. While Brian takes his old man bladder to the little boy's room, let's talk turkey. TCB needs your help. If you love the show, do us all a favor and share. Sharing is caring, and we know you care, don't you? Well, don't you? Ooh, that was some childhood trauma. Rearing its ugly head. Do you want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822, and you could be the next TCB disembodied voice. Ooh, what'd you do today? I was a disembodied voice. You know, that sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Find us on Insta at The Commercial Break, on the web at tcbpodcast.com, and all the episodes on video are available the same day at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I'm going to go help Brian get back up the stairs while you listen to the sponsors, and then we'll all meet back here and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break. I'll take a raise now, bitches. Bye.
Ari, thanks for so much for joining us today. We really appreciate
it. Welcome.
Nice, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're in the beautiful city of Nash Vegas right now?
Yeah, it's pretty red. I got drunk yesterday.
You got what?
Drunk the night before. Drunk yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah. I lived there for 5 years. It's a fun city.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a bachelorette town.
Where do you go when you're in Nashville? What's your favorite honky-tonk to head out to?
I don't know. I've avoided Broadway this time. I'm in East Nashville for the first time, which is kind of cooler. Still some crime, still some hipsters. It's where the new gays are coming to try to take it back.
Yeah, it's got a little grit to it.
Yeah,
you're doing a number of shows in Vegas, huh? I mean, in Nashville, huh?
Yeah, I got 5. They're all great. The club rules. It's a really cool place. Yeah, I got to hang out with Nate yesterday and his wife.
But you weren't doing a show with Nate, were you?
No, we don't have the same market at all. He's so clean. We get along, but he's like, oh, I could never expose my audience.
No. Nate is clean as a whistle. When I watched his recent special, I talked about it here on the air. It's clean as a whistle. It's different. It's a different kind of comedy than I'm normally listening to.
Yeah, me too.
But I thought he did an excellent job. He's really good at his craft. But so are you. America's Sweetheart is an excellent, excellent set of comedy. You did a really good job. I thought it was really funny. Congratulations on it.
Heck yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just trying to get people to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with something you said. I wanted to point this out because we were talking about Kanye the other day and his young lady running down the red carpet.
What a dress. First of all, listen, you don't have to wear a giant coat if you wear anything underneath. You can just wear a t-shirt and a hoodie.
It would make
the same as a mink and a nothing.
Yeah.
100%. You were saying there is no sacred ground anymore.
No, all shock value
Once
is
your
gone.
Vag is out, then there's nothing else left to the imagination.
I mean, what? Why even? It's just nudge. Why even have the thing?
We asked the same question.
Which I'm for.
Yeah.
But
what is it pushing? Well, you know, what agenda is it pushing? Obviously, you're there to get camera.
I know one thing it's pushing. It's a great body.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Not one person was like, ooh, gross body. They were all like, I mean, the canvas is great.
Excellent specimen. I guess it got people talking, right?
It did. That was the purpose. And that's that's what Kanye does very well is he gets people talking. And I was telling Chrissy here, I said, this is the first time my wife has ever sent me a nude photograph of a woman that was not her. So mark the time, mark the place. She was like, did you see this? And I see it. I'm zooming in.
Quadrant 6G. Zoom enhanced.
For like 15 minutes, Rolling Stone had the unedited photograph on their Instagram. And I'm sure everybody took a screenshot like I did. But now when Astrid looks at my phone and she sees a nude woman, I'm be like, you sent it to me. So I don't
you got
want
me started.
Anymore complaining.
That's I didn't even know there were nude women until you sent me that one. Now it's all I can think about. But yes, Kanye's music rules. That's what we should focus on.
Yes.
Not him standing there like a loony.
That is the point that you made that I thought was pretty prescient. And we had this conversation in the studio a couple of weeks ago. We were kind of talking about how some of my children are now listening to Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson is in some of these cartoon movies that he's got, like he's got, you know, the thriller songs and stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder if that's, you know, I wonder if I should have any feelings about that, but I really don't because sometimes it's important to separate the art from the artist. And you said something interesting. I'm not going to butcher your joke, but you said something interesting that I don't follow Kanye on Twitter. I follow him on Spotify. And I think that was a really well done joke. That is a prescient point. Like all artists are fucking Looney Tunes. We went and
Looney Tunes.
Chris and I went last night and saw Bill Murray and his Blood Brothers, the band. So Bill Murray singing, playing drums and tambourine very poorly. I'm a cowbell.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, the comedian, comic actor?
Yeah, the comic actor. It was crazy.
He's got like an 8-piece band that he travels
around.
With.
Well, let's be real about this.
It's the band.
It's the band with Bill Murray.
Right. How was it?
It was actually entertaining.
It was actually entertaining. Yeah.
Okay.
I give it that. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. It was entertaining. I don't want to knock it because we had a ton of fun.
Yeah, we laughed a lot.
But, you know, this is a $5 cover band anywhere else without Bill Murray. Like, this is the band, house band at some, you know, cheap bar that, you know, bar that serves $5 drafts. That's what it is. But they were talented,
no doubt. They were talented. There was a lot of good saxophone.
Can't say that about Bill.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got to.
You've got to.
But they're all lunatics. You can't judge them for anything other than the thing they put out.
Exactly.
I don't want my artists if they're not a little bit insane. Do you know what I'm saying? Take away all the artists who have done shitty, crazy things, and they go and take your Spotify playlist or your CDs or your albums or whatever, go take them and throw them in the garbage and you will have nothing left. There's nothing else there. So Kanye's a little crazy, but
there's nothing else there. You take heroin out of the arts.
It's right.
It's true. It's true. it's true. Tell me about the traveling.
I got more into Kanye after all this, legitimately.
Did you?
As everything was coming up, and I was like, And then my friends would send me like, hey, I know he's like supposed to be like hates Jews or whatever, but have you heard this one song? And I'm like, oh my God, that's really good. How did I miss that one? Like, it helped me focus on his music. And I was like, oh, his music, I passed by it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Skinhead slaps.
Do you think, well, we're talking about Kanye, are you under the assumption, I am, that he's just trolling everybody? That's yes. just like a master troll?
Yes, 100%. I mean, I'm a troll, so I can recognize it. He's just saying stuff that gets people upset. And it's also like, some of it's like high school level.
Right.
That Hitler had some good ideas. Like, we were saying that in fifth grade in a Jewish school. Just to like tweak at each other.
Right.
It's like, right. But yeah. It's just the easiest way to say something that'll piss people off. Because, you know, the Volkswagen was cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't take that away from him.
100%. Something came out of it.
Yeah. Listen, the mustache never caught up. So that was a failure.
Mm. It's true. I think it's illegal in some parts of the world to have that mustache, actually, isn't it? In Germany, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Frowned upon,
I think
least.
Frowned upon, yeah.
Yeah.
Germans got super sad. I do know for a fact that you cannot have the name Adolf anywhere in Germany. That's like that's really? A name that you cannot put on a birth certificate. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they got
ruined it.
He did. No, there's no more
Adolf. One bad egg.
One bad egg.
One super bad egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to all the Donalds out there of 150 years from now? Or the Joes? What are we going to do, Chrissy, when we can't name our kids Donald or Joe anymore?
No,
yeah.
No.
You have an excellent podcast called You Be Trippin'. It's really good. What gave you the premise? I have to say this. You've been doing podcasting a lot longer than people have known about podcasting. Weren't you on Rogan's episode number 2 or 3 or something?
Yeah, they were pretty early on. We all were like looking for a way away from radio. We can't cuss. And we have to wake up at 6 a.m. to do it.
Yeah,
it sucked. It always sucked. You get some dumb fucking local DJ didn't know anything. It was just kind of like, oh, what are we doing here? We can't even curse. Yeah. And so then it was like, I wish there was a way to do this in the afternoon and then with cussing. But nothing was there. Yeah. And then suddenly something popped their heads up and comedians loved it. Oh, we drove right into it.
Yeah, it certainly has become a vehicle.
They've been doing it for like 15 years. It's crazy how long it's been around at this point.
Yeah, it's been around for 15 years. When did you do your first podcast? Like 2010, right?
Yeah, I was on Rogan's pretty early. Then like probably a year later, I started my old one that I stopped. But like, yeah, I did that for like 10 or 12 years. And now this new one, it's just like, yeah, it's become part of the landscape now. It's pretty wild.
It really has. I think that if you're a comedian, an entertainer, I mean, it's like, it's just a thing you have to do. It's a rubber stamp. You have to get a
podcast.
People
didn't even know what they were.
No.
I would ask people to be a guest in my podcast. They're like, what is that? I'm like, it's like an internet radio thing. It won't be live. You just to explain them the whole format. Yeah. They're like, how? Like, that's not what I want to get into. Just when you come over and let me talk to you.
when we did our first podcast, and we would, I mean, this is 5 or 6 years ago.
We come from radio.
We come from radio. We worked in radio back in the, at the tail end of the demise of what was radio.
You brought it down. You killed it with that.
That's true. Luckily, we weren't on air. We were on the business side of things.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it was even shittier on the sales side than it was on the on-air side. You thought the on-air guys were buffoons. Yeah. You should have seen some of the people we worked with. I mean, used car sales.
That must have been great. Local radio and the people that came at you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was entertaining.
You're like going to a dry cleaner and begging them to spend $1,000 on 2 spots that are clearly might bring them some business. But you have to like be convinced that this is it. And knowing damn well that every other radio station in town is calling on them.
Yeah.
We used to hear stories that in radio, when we got into, this is like 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. So right when podcasting was coming online, we worked for Clear Channel and what is now iHeartRadio, they didn't even have an app yet. Like it was coming online as we were starting. So we used to hear stories about the heyday back in the 90s where they would have a margarita machine next to the fax machine.
Next to the cocaine.
And the fax machine would just ring all day. People just sending an order, tens of thousands of dollars worth of radio, because that was kind of the only game in town. You were either doing TV or radio, and TV was prohibitively expensive. So, but by the time we got there, things were a little bit different.
They're just talking about what it used to be. Yeah. That's when I started comedy. They kept talking about the 80s. Like, it was great. It was, there were lines around the block. We were talking in a room that was supposed to have a show, but no one showed up in. Yeah. Like, wow, sounds amazing.
Yes, sounds great. Congratulations on you. That sounds good for you. But I think comedy right now is kind of seeing a renaissance. It has.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So, yeah.
It's great. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, the podcast and the comedy. It's so popular around the world. Yeah. In Amsterdam, every local show is packed.
Really?
Yeah. In Berlin, there's mobs every show.
Do you yourself do a lot of traveling for comedy? I mean, besides here, like the continental United States, do you do a lot of traveling outside the U.S.?
No, I do. So comedy is really pretty cool. It's even when you're just beginning, there's this occasional like free trip to a wild place.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Me and my friend Paul Morrissey, we did this comedy festival in Montreux, Switzerland in like 2009 or 10.
Yeah.
Free trip out there. They room and board. We had them fly us back from Amsterdam. So then we were like, let's take the train to Amsterdam after that. And we just kind of made a deal with each other. Like, let's keep doing these.
Right.
I got flown to Hong Kong and Shanghai, Iceland. And these are all times where I could not afford these trips.
For sure.
Yeah. You're out there. Yeah. And then there's somebody there telling you, like, I got the hotel for you, where it's so scary. It's kind of like easy internet.
Yeah.
And everything's so frightening. They're like, oh, well, I got a hotel for you. I'll pick you up from the airport. And then they just tell you some details. Like in Shanghai, they're like, hey, it's really safe here. The punishments for violent crime are wild.
There's an embarrassment thing
in this culture. So like no one's, like drunk women will fall asleep with their phone in their hand and wake up with their phone in their hand.
Yeah.
It's untouched. Crazy. Yeah.
So once they told me that, I was like, oh, I'm free. And I would just like wander out to like a place I couldn't communicate. I'd learn the word for like beef. And then I'm like, what beef? And then they point to a giant sign of like 30 different beef dishes. And I'm like, all right, just guess.
Not the dog.
Yes. Please. Yeah, I had dog once. I didn't have it, but I saw it on the menu once. It needs to be more.
I was like,
what is that? They told me. I was like, what's that word? And they were like, bark, bark, bark. And I was like, chicken? Yeah. And they're like, no, bark, bark, bark.
Bark.
And I'm like, oh, that's all right. That's
all right.
I'll
pass on the bark.
Yeah. It was like room temperature. You could tell it wasn't even fresh. It's like, this isn't going to be the time that I start with dog. You know the saying, like, would you ever try human meat? And you're always like, well, okay, what did they do? They had to have done something wrong.
Yeah.
And then also, like, how's it prepared? Fine chef?
That's
or
right.
Just lying around? Am I eating raw, like, alive? You know? But yes, flown me all over. So it's like really great. And now I like book gigs, you know, even though I can't afford, but it's like trips through Europe. I did one tour in Greece and then stayed for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
I matched up an Australian tour with this like rugby match.
How did you like Australia?
I love Australia. They're the biggest cokeheads in the world.
They're the
biggest cokeheads and with the worst coke. So if you meet an Australian outside of Australia, they're like, the coke is great here and it's so cheap.
You're like, no, it's not. Like, it's full of baby laxative. Well, they don't grow it naturally. Everything there has got to be imported, right? So that's probably why it's some of the worst cocaine. And it's so far away from anything. Where are they getting the cocaine
from? The cartel.
It's certainly not coming from South America, China. Probably, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Where does Europe get their cocaine?
From Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they ship it over and they run it through Africa. There's like, we went to Sevilla, Spain for a wedding, which is like near the Cape. So it's, you know, you could take a boat over to Africa. And one of the guys was telling me that Sevilla, while the beautiful and pretty tame town in general, is known to have a lot of drug running through it. Mm. Like people will take over those boats, you know, those ferries.
Because it's on the water.
Yeah, because it's on the water. And they'll run drugs up into Europe and to Spain. Yeah.
On a ferry.
On a ferry. And Great Britain's appetite for cocaine has grown exponentially. So there's a lot of drug running that goes around, that goes on through Spain so that they can get it up to Europe. I know all about the cocaine, and don't ask me why.
The Brits love their powder.
It's not because I spent 10 years of my life staring at myself in a mirror on the table. I was doing some self-reflection. I'll be here all week.
This is everybody like, do you like Coke? Like, no, I don't like it at all. What, do you have some?
Yeah. Right.
Hey, man, that guy over there, he's a Cokehead. Yeah? Really? I'll go talk to him.
I'll go talk to him privately. Get out of here.
I'll talk to him. I'll be back in 2 to 3 hours. We're going to go to the bathroom together.
Remember when you didn't know what cocaine was? And you're like, yes. Why is everyone's bladder so small? Dude?
I know. Right?
Everyone just keeps getting up.
Mm-hmm. I've been to those parties.
Yeah.
Before you knew what it was.
Only parties I went to for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. I was a manager at a bar, and it was just clear as day. If you knew what to look for, and I did, because it takes one to know one, right? If you knew what to look for, you would know. And then, of course, you always had the local dealer, you know, the guy
that sits at the bar.
And you just keep him in check a little bit. You're like, hey, don't be so obvious about it, you know, because it's good for business. Yeah, be less obvious about your cocaine. It was. We talked to Steve O. It was like year and a half ago. And Steve was telling us that when he was getting high, he had a night with Mike Tyson where they did 2 8 balls of cocaine. They sat in a Las Vegas bathroom for 4 hours doing 2 8 balls of cocaine, him and Mike Tyson. He told this story, and for like 5 minutes, I didn't say a word. My jaw was on the floor. I was like, think about being in a room coked up with a certified killer, a small room. And I know Mike, he seems now like a very self-reflective, smart, you know, empathetic human being. But there was a time.
This is Coke Mike.
Yeah,
this is not Mushroom Mike. Yeah, Mushroom Mike is right. Nice. Coke Mike is a problem.
Tell me what your favorite place to visit is. Like all the places you've been, what is your favorite?
Or I've always wanted to go to Iceland. How was that?
Iceland is gorgeous.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and then I have a friend who started the Icelandic comedy scene, also named Ari. And so he was like, let's do a little tour. I'll like leave my family for a couple of days. And he'd show me the north. And he knew all the little secret spots. He's like, over Sheep Meadow here, I think there was like a fissure. I remember this when I was a kid. And we found a rope. We just climbed down. It's just a hot spring, like a natural hot spring in this fissure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and like no one's there. You're just there swimming around and like in this hot water, like swimming, not just soaking in it, for like 2 hours. And no one's there.
Wow.
It's just so out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iceland rules. And the chicks are so hot.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. They all look exactly the same.
Yeah. They're all blonde and 6 feet tall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're forward thinking. You're like, can I buy you a drink? They're like, why? All over Scandinavia and Iceland. They're like, why? What do you mean? Why would you buy me a drink?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're so equal there. It's like, it's foreign to
the earth. I love that.
Hey, that's incredible. Is Iceland one of the favorite places that you've been?
I said, yeah, I like going to places where like it's kind of like I can't like communicate with anybody, or where I can't even like talk to home, where it's like too far out where I'm really, really lost.
Yeah.
Going through like Southeast Asia, through like Myanmar and East Timor and Indonesia and South America too, where I'm like, it's just real rural.
Yeah.
You just have to like try to get some of the language to where you can like just order some food.
You like a challenge. You like to travel where it's a bit of a challenge.
A new experience.
I like being uncomfortable. Yeah. And then like Berlin also is great for drugs. Berlin is the best. Berlin is the best city.
I have heard.
Yeah. I've heard Berlin is like the wildest party scene on earth.
Wild. And nobody cares about anything negative. They only care about the positive. So there's no more like bitching about like, well, I raised this way and it was hard. They're all past that. Like, what are you into now?
Nice.
Yeah. So I saw somebody that was like, when I was there last time, there was somebody new to Berlin, and they were like, well, I'm non-binary, and all these like trans chicks like, oh, no one's talking about that shit anymore. Like, they were like, yeah, grow up.
Yeah.
We're all so far past that. And there was like, what are you into? What kind of music do you like?
Yeah.
We're not talking about that dumb shit anymore. It's like, yeah. It's like here in this country going, I'm gay. They're like, yeah, who cares?
Right.
This is 1987. Nobody gets to talk about gay anymore.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the drugs are crazy. And you're walking on the street and you hear like music and you're looking at like the side of a building and you're like, what? And you're like, oh, maybe that's a door. And you kind of push it and there's a guy there going, €5. And you're like, okay. And then you just go in there and then there's like some like industrial warehouse
dance
scene with like, oh, I loved it.
Fun.
That's incredible. I like sometimes watching videos about the Berlin club scene because it's just big. Wild. It's like literally an old steel factory, 15 football fields large. Not a space in between the human beings. There's 10,000 people in there, and they're dancing. All just fucked up and getting down. And it feels, even when you're watching the videos, it feels liberating. You're like, wow.
It's so cool. Dude, I've seen like fat, naked people with just shoes and socks on, like jumping up and down, dancing. Yes. I was like self-conscious about dancing, and then I'm like, I'm fine. I got his hair. Yeah, there's that, and there's a supermodel over there. And you're like, this is nutty.
Yeah.
And then someone's getting their fucking dick sucked behind you, and you're like, what?
Well, there's a big like sex club.
Yeah, there's a big
scene.
Sex club scene there too, huh?
Yeah, but even the non-sex clubs are like, well, you can just fuck a little.
Just do whatever.
Could you fuck a little?
Yeah. I've had like 2 hours into this one, I just passed some lady just on her knees, just like going after this guy. And I'm like 2 hours into this place, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I was just desensitized to it. I've seen hands disappear and butts.
Whoa.
I've seen like, wait, where does that go? But like, be cool. Be cool, Art. Act like you've been here before. Yeah. It was so hard. I'm not cool.
Be cool.
You're trying to look out of the side of your eyes. Like, why don't I have sunglasses on?
Yeah,
I know better. Be cool like that.
Yes, always and no, sunglasses. Yeah.
Yes, the first rule of nude beach. Wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's your friend. Hard black or silver sunglasses.
We go to, we visit Spain a lot, and you know Spain is also another liberated country. You walk on any of the beaches there, and you're like you're certainly going to see tits, not the whole thing. Because and they don't care. There's like literally children, right next to the nude women. It's just part of the culture. They don't give a shit. They're not hung up on the stuff we are.
Yeah,
but I learned the first time. Wear sunglasses. Yeah, don't stare at anybody.
My favorite thing about Spain is the racism only against gypsies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When we're like gypsies, they're like, don't say that word in here.
Yes.
And they're like, okay. And they're like very on the surface about it. They're not trying to hide it. Like, they fucking suck. No gypsies allowed signs.
Yes.
Like, I've heard that.
It is a little bit weird. But there, you know, there's like this separatist culture sometimes that goes on in Spain because there is a whole part, the Basque country in Spain, that is a different universe, and they speak a different version of, you know, they in some parts they speak a different language almost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dialect, but it's almost a different language. But there's a separatist, like Basque country is different than the rest of Spain, and you need to be mindful sometimes about what you say and who you're with.
Yeah, it was cool. Everywhere in Barcelona, you see those like Basque flags up.
Yeah.
Like the separatist flags up, and they're like, they want out for sure.
Oh, they definitely want out.
Yeah.
They're like
barely minority.
I like in Texas to America is what Basque country is Spain.
Okay.
Yes. So they believe they're a different country. Everybody says they're a different country. They don't sometimes follow by the same rules. But that's just, there's just a long history in Spain of civil disobedience and unrest and stuff like that. The Spanish War, the Spanish Civil War was not too long ago, actually.
Other people in Texas, like, Texas is a republic. It's not a state. And we're like, fuck off.
I know.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. You can call yourself whatever you want. Yeah. And Iranians are Persian. Shut the fuck up.
My brother-in-law just moved there, and he comes back, and he's like, Texas is great. And I'm like, dude, first of all, you're Venezuelan. First of all, you just came from Venezuela. Don't act like Texas is – don't act like Texas is a different country.
They have Texas pride.
I know, he's been there for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden he's – Texas needs to, separate from the United – and I'm like, dude, come on, really? Don't be like that. Get in the country first and then go from there. Who's your favorite guest on UB Trippin', and what was there? What's the favorite story you've heard on UB Trippin' so far?
Okay, we just had the Trippy Awards for the first year. I just finished the first year of it. Yeah. best guest, best trip is Harlan Williams. He took a National Geographic. He was throwing one out, and he saw it, and he saw a little sign that says, would you like to go around the world for $30,000? And it was a 35-day around-the-world trip.
No way.
$30,000. And it was, you start in Los Angeles, you go west, and you go to the Galapagos, you go to Easter Island, you go to Tibet, you go to all these places. They take you on tours, they take you on different things as you're there, the Taj Mahal.
National Geographic has their own travel plans.
It was so nutty. It's private plane for 70 people. And on the plane rides, they'd have like experts that were in National Geographic talk to you about like the new coming place. It was such a wild show, and he's so funny with it. So it's like
funny, yeah.
Yeah, he showed me a picture of some guy at the Taj Mahal picking his nose so far up. It's like his bottom knuckle is gone. He goes, I've never stopped thinking about this guy for 30 years. Where did his finger go? I thought maybe he had no finger, but he pulled it out and he came out so far. And then but we've had some great ones. Joe List had one where he's trying to get a girlfriend back on the hike to Machu Picchu. He's like his ex-girlfriend. He's like, do you want to go? Like, and she goes, just as friends. He goes, yeah, just as friends. And then he hangs up and goes, getting her back.
Right.
Yeah. And then she getting like terrible diarrhea on the way. He's just trying to like fuck her while she's has diarrhea in the Incan jungle. Yeah. That's been some good ones. That's a really good one.
Yeah, you've had some interesting guests on the show. Harlan Williams, by the way, has that Disney money. He's got that Puppy Dog Pals cash.
Dog Palace. What is that from? That's the name of the show.
You wouldn't know this unless you had young kids. Yeah, it's Puppy Dog Pals. He created it, and he does the voices, a few of the voices, in this show called Puppy Dog Pals, which took over like, now it's Bluey. It's all about Bluey. Mm-hmm. But a cycle ago, it was all Puppy Dog Pals all the time. Disney Junior. Yeah, and it was created by Harland, and I think he wrote a lot of the stories. So, and you know, it was like Harland Williams. You could hear the voice. You recognize the voice instantaneously.
The guy who drank piss and was Dumb and Dumber. The guy who drank pee and Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that's right.
He's so good at that.
You had Tucker Carlson on. I didn't listen to the episode, but that was an interesting get.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is fight back against all this divisiveness by including everyone and taking them away from the thing that's being divisive. Mm-hmm. And the response is a lot of like, how dare you? I'm done with you. And I'm like, I'm on your side. I'm making a guy who talks about something that makes you angry not talk about that thing.
Yeah.
So all he did was we shared a love of travel. So I'm like, come in. We're not going to talk about politics at all. We're just going to talk about some fun place you've been. I met him once and I met him. He did some little mini documentary on stand-up comedy. And so we all did like remote interviews. My publicist was like, if you do this, we will never work with you again. I'm like, that's nuts. I'm not getting into that game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so he just liked what I had to say, where like stand-up, like this is like, theory the stand-up's hard now, everyone's trying to come after us. I'm like, that's a little of that, but it's a great time.
Yeah.
You know, they forget with the Atlanta Hawks play. it's going great,
everyone's doing fine.
So we liked it, and he's like, you know, I'd like to meet you, I'd like to use my podcast. And I went up to his, I was in Maine for a family trip, and I was like, I'll come by. And and he goes, well, it's the day after the debate, the Biden and Trump debate, so we have to talk about that. And I was like, brother, I don't care at all about politics. I understand that's your thing. If you talk about it, you'll be talking to a brick wall. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. I don't care about it. It's boring to me. Yeah. And he goes, okay, I'll wait till the next episode. Don't worry about it. And we just talked about other stuff. Talked about gospel music and all this, I don't know, the Talmud. He was reading the Talmud. And I was like, yeah, it was fun. And then anyone who was like, I hate this, like, well, read it, watch it. It's pretty interesting. So on my podcast, they just talked about the UAE. And the problems with it and the cool things you've seen there.
I would fall victim to this if I'm being real honest, if I'm being real self-reflective. I would fall victim to this because I see the word Tucker Carlson and I feel a certain type of way. And then I'm like, okay, not going to listen to that. I'm not going to let it get under my skin, right? It doesn't make me discount the conversation. It doesn't make me discount you. It's just like, I just don't care for Tucker Carlson. But I do like what you're saying,
he's a great traveler.
You know who we had on? I don't know if you've ever seen the guy, a Channel 5 News, Andrew Callahan. You don't watch political stuff, but there's a guy on YouTube named Andrew Callahan, and he made a documentary on HBO called This Place Rules. And then, he's a kid. He's not a kid. He's in his 20s. And
he started out as a kid.
Yeah, he's got millions.
Is that all breaks, no gas?
All gas,
no breaks. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy rules.
Yeah, so we had him on last week, right?
Oh,
and
cool.
And this show is not political. We try and, we call it the commercial break. Take a break from all the bullshit. And so we very rarely.
Great, that's my whole special.
Yeah. There you go.
That's my whole special's point. Great, I love it.
And your special is great. And it does do that particular ethos a lot of justice. But we had him on, and one of the reasons why I had him on, even though we don't talk about politics, because Andrew is saying we have to get to the reasons mm-hmm. why people are so divisive and stop talking about and stop harping on the talking points that are making it so divisive. We're not getting anywhere with that. And so he put out a new documentary, does a really good job mm-hmm. of kind of like, you know, uncovering why people are getting to this point and who they are as human beings. Yeah. Because they're your neighbors, they're your friends, everybody, yeah. you know, we can't go on forever just fucking at each other's throats. There has to be some conversation. You make an interesting point. Let's take him away from the thing that's making him divisive mm-hmm. and just make him, there's humanity there. Let's talk about it. We have some shared interest. So congratulations. I like that.
Yeah, it's funny. Week to week, people go, I can't believe you're this left-leaning, like, hippie. And now I can't believe this right-leaning Nazi. It's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to talk to fun people about cool places they've been. I'm yeah. trying to make the world better. And you guys are stuck in it. Like, now I think we're all at that point now where it's like, okay, we've all accepted. We got to now go. So now what?
Right.
Yeah.
We know they're spying on us for ads. We know they're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. So now what?
Yeah. How do we move forward?
Yeah. And I try to think like, we got to focus on something good in mm-hmm. every situation. So like Tucker Carlson's a good example. I get when I went on his podcast, the comments were first, this guy's a heretic. He never read the New Testament, only the Old. It's a lot of like Christian. Because we were talking about the Talmud. There was a lot of I'm done with you now, Ari, after this. There was a lot of I'm done with you now, Tucker, after having this guy on.
Yeah. Wow.
Like we both got like thrown away by her audience yes. from talking to each other. And it was like, okay, you guys are like wild. And then you get an occasional like really interesting stuff. Never seen the side of either of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't talk about politics for 4-5 years almost.
All right.
And then we said the word, and then the election came. And we felt that it was just like too big of a story to ignore. We had to say something, but we didn't bash anybody. We just said, you know, Trump's president, and even though he wasn't our choice, we hope that everything goes well. And you would not believe that within a heartbeat, we had reviews of people, I'm never listening to you again, you bash Trump. And it's like, I didn't bash Trump. That's not what I did. I just said that he wasn't my choice. But
yeah, so everyone's this riled up. Like,
it's crazy.
I don't think you can change it. You want to change it. You can't change it. I think you just got to focus on yourself and just be like, you know the starfish thing?
No. What's that?
Those two guys walking on the beach and let's make it a guy and a girl so we can be inclusive today. It's a guy and a girl walking on the beach and and there's like 1,000 starfish washed up from the high tide. And they're like, oh my God, they're all going to die, you know, because they're not in the water.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is weird. And so then one guy picks up one of the starfish and he like throws it back in the water. And then they kind of walk inside and the girl's like, what's that going to do? It's not going to make a dent in all these starfish.
Yeah.
Dying. And he goes, well, it's going to matter for that one starfish.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So it's like, you just have to focus on yourself when everyone's doing that. Just go, okay, how can I reach across an aisle? How can I just focus on something positive? I mean, it's like, it's kind of easy. It's a 5 days on vacation, one day rained.
Yeah.
All right. I learned a new card game when we're stuck inside. That's fun. This all of Modest Mouse Music is this. It's just like focusing on the positive part. And then your mental state is like pretty nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this guy.
Instead of going, look at that Trump flag on that house, go, wow, look at that deck they built on that house.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Focus on something different.
Uh-oh. Ari's getting to me.
I know.
Ari's getting to me. And then you start to like, your mental state goes higher and better. You're just like, you're in a good mood. You know those people who are like, one's always happy, one's always upset. There's one's cooler to be around.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know the guy, Dr. Wayne Dyer, passed away a couple of years ago. You see him on PBS all the time, bald guy. He's, you know,
no.
Positivity. Anyway,
he called himself Dyer that he died.
Yeah, he did. He had this saying. It said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at start to change, right? And I think that's what you're saying, essentially, and focus on the things that are good instead of the things that divide us. You're getting to me.
I had a friend who did this.
Takes just as much energy.
I didn't expect to feel this way about this interview. I'm having feelings.
I had this friend who moved to Los Angeles, and he goes, he hated it. Oh. And he said, everybody's like, how do you like LA? He was there for a writing job. He goes, I hate it. I'm like, what do you hate about it? There's no change of weather. It's like burritos only everywhere. It's fucking, the people are annoying. And then every party, people ask him, how do you like L.A.? He got sick of saying the same reasons. So he goes, it's just a dumb conversation. I hate L.A., but I want to say this every single party event.
Yeah.
So he started saying, like, I like it. To have people just like, enough, I don't talk about it. And they go, what do you like about it? He goes, I don't know. There's no weather change. It's, you know, so it's good weather, good burritos. And then, like, after he started saying it, he said for, like, a couple months, he started, like, liking L.A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is true.
It
because
happens.
There is, you know, so I don't want to get like too woo-woo here on this particular podcast. I'll do that in my own personal life. But at the end of the day, the metaphysical becomes the physical.
It does. Yeah.
So if you are wishing the negative, if you are talking about it constantly, you're going to manifest and focus on those things.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you can just think yourself into being a millionaire. I don't believe that. But if you can't also, you can certainly think yourself out of being a millionaire. Do you know what I'm saying? You can certainly focus on the negative and stay, stay depressed and lazy and
out
of it.
Yeah. Sometimes a negative helps you, where it's like, look, I'm barely getting by, but I'm doing better than some third world countries. You focus on that, and then you're like, oh, I'm all right. I'm pretty good. I live in America. We have a lot of rights here. It's pretty cool.
Well, let me ask you this, Ari, because this
there's term limits. You don't like a president? We live in a country where there's term limits.
Well, we hope so.
Well, yeah, we hope so.
I was hooking up with this chick in college a long time ago when Trump won the first time. So it was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, we had a little fling in a festival. And then, so I asked her. She was in school in Florida, and I was like, what are college kids saying about Trump? Like, are you guys like real pissed? Cause that's like the bastion of like new liberals.
Liberals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she goes, you know, it's whatever. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, he's going to be the president for 4 and 8 years, but then he'll be gone. We also voted on legal weed, and that got passed. And so that's here forever. So we're all pretty happy about the election.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we got a guy who's in and out and legal weed for the rest of our lives. Yeah. So it was she was like, A1.
And I take this stance that, you know, in this country, at least, we have the freedom to vote for who we want to. And no matter who is in office, and you're right, the pendulum swings
one way or the other.
You can make fun of them.
Yeah.
And you can wish them well. You can not like the things that they do, but you can also agree that when they do things that are good for you or that you agree with, that you should applaud those efforts because that is the way that the country works. Actually rooting for someone to fail is rooting for the... For negativity in general.
Yeah, I don't follow either side. I gave up on it so long ago. I was like, aren't they all just crooks? Didn't we all agree government is crooks?
Yes.
They're the worst ones. And I'm like, guys, just don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. You're like, this guy murdered 7 people. This guy only murdered 2.
Right.
It's like, just go away from all of them. but it's like, it's a lot of these people, they hate Trump and they hate Biden. Like, if he came into the room and he'd be like, I'm leaving, like, you wouldn't talk to him and say, like, hey, end the embargo on Cuba.
Yeah.
You wouldn't try to, like, have some influence?
Sure.
I would.
Yeah.
If Trump came in the room today, I would not leave. If Trump...
You'd have to say hi, be pleasant, and not like, fuck you, bitch. It's like, great. You said your thing. You've gotten no change in the world.
Yeah.
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 I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. We said this during the campaign, and while this was not the platform for it, but if either of those candidates had said, you know, hey, I'll have a conversation with you, how could you at least not have that conversation, right? How could you at least not want to talk to them and try and get inside of their heads or have a conversation that might be meaningful or maybe even lead to some change?
If you could get Biden and Trump, or not, then Kamala and then Trump. Biden pulled out. But those are the last two presidents. So Biden and Trump in a room, and you're like, guys, let's talk. And then you could bring them both drinks, you know, like, let's sit down, Sprite. And then 30 minutes in, go, okay, guys, I have put Molly in both of your drinks. So should be hitting right about now. Yes. Too late. You're not going anywhere. We're going to start liking each other. Yeah. Settle in. I'm going to put some music on. If you feel like dancing, you can dance.
Go for it.
Yeah. Biden, we got a walker for you. You're not going to fall. Guys, it's going to be great. Yeah. Let me introduce you to Big Frida. And we will get up and we will go.
What if we'll take him to a German sex club? And we'll have him both dance naked with socks on. If it's me, I'm bringing him ayahuasca. I saw the most interesting reel one time. This guy had made an AI. He had said, what if Trump did ayahuasca? He made an AI reel about the evolution of Trump if Trump did ayahuasca. And it turned him into, it went through all these pictures and photographs as he went from like this stern, grumpy, you know, kind of vengeful guy into this loving, caring hippie where his hair grew out and he was shirtless in the jungle. And he was sitting there like this, going like this. And I thought to myself, It could fucking happen. It could fucking happen. If guy wants to do ayahuasca, Trump, if you want to do ayahuasca, I know a guy who knows a guy. I'm just saying. We can do it together.
You know a shaman. You know a shaman.
Shaman. I know.
We can get the entire government out there to do ayahuasca.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If we had the, if every, I mean, listen, ayahuasca is not to be toyed with. She is a fickle bitch, right? But if those who are ready would do it, I think that we probably have a little bit.
We could start with Molly.
We could start with Molly.
Yeah.
I like starting
with Molly.
Yeah. I went on the Daily Wire yesterday, 2 days ago. Yeah. And they're just as nuts as the left wing, as the super hard, where they're just like, they have these talking points. They haven't really thought them out. They just have these talking points.
Yeah.
It's cool to see because I live in a liberal kind of bubble. Yeah. So I mostly only see the left wing ones, but it's funny to see the right wings. One of the questions they had in the stupid game show, like, would the world be better if every single person had to have one psychedelic trip? And I was like, yes. And he was like, no. And I'm like, are you nuts? And I'm like, do you believe in God? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, what? Who made mushrooms?
Right.
Who made mushrooms? I get it on acid. Who made mushrooms then?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I fought that so hard. I'm like, you don't think it'd be better if everyone just one time removed themselves from their ego?
Totally.
Just one time?
Totally.
1,000%. If everyone would see how the ego is driving us all fucking up a wall, then we would, I think most of us would agree.
And then we're all connected.
And then we're all connected.
Yeah. You feel like the tendrils of humanity all in the soil connected. Yeah, and then he goes, I don't want to get addicted. I'm like, you're a dork. Nobody gets addicted
to mushrooms.
Okay, this isn't the 50s, loser. We have more research now.
Right?
You're not going to do them again for a year. Shut up. Addicted to mushrooms. Get out of town.
Oh my God, what a silly thing. What a silly thing to think. Do some mushrooms. You'll understand. Yeah. You're not doing that every Tuesday night, right? Hey, Ari, I wanted to ask you something. Are you taking a break?
Yeah, I'm going to go travel for a while.
Oh, are you?
Good for you.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to sell all my stuff and go down to one backpack and
fantastic.
Put a little bit of stuff in storage, get out of my apartment and just go travel South America. I think,
no shit.
Southeast Asia.
Do you live in Nashville or where do you live?
No, I'm just here for the weekend.
Right.
For shows. I live in New York City.
In New York.
Yeah. So, I just want to take a follow here.
What prompted this? You're good. Like there are no health issues. You're good. I just want to take a break.
Yeah. Okay.
I finished a special. I did my job. Then I did a little tour. I'm in the middle of a little tour. Tickets at archivere.com will be in Atlanta.
You're coming to Atlanta.
We've got
to
go.
Yeah, in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got to go.
All right, we will be.
Let me know. I'll give you nice tickets if you want.
Okay. Yes, we will.
I'll talk to you.
I'll text you. Yeah. You're texting my wife, so I'll text you back. I'm keeping it close.
Oh, no disrespect. I was just trying to rearrange the. I just want to rearrange the meeting.
You just want to go have a boozy lunch.
Yeah. We've been married so long. I don't care. Whatever.
Then I was like, I took care of work and I just want to see the world.
Nice. And you can still walk and like you have your health and that's important to be able to travel.
Oh yeah, you see these people. Anchor walk, you see all these old people with canes and it's nice they're still doing it, but still
I know.
This at 35.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you doing that indicates you have some level of like mental health because so many people, including myself, will just work yourself into a frenzy and just keep on going and just keep on going. I'll put it off. I'll do it next year. Blah, blah, blah. And even though I do a lot of traveling, I can understand that it must be really difficult to take a pause and say, I'm actually going to take this year off and I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm going to do some traveling. I'm going to go and do what
such
I want to do.
Idea.
Enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Once you get over like 2 to 3 weeks gone, and you go to a second country that your anchor is not even from your old country. Your anchor's in like, I don't have an anchor anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you go from Myanmar to like Thailand. You're like, I'm not coming from America anymore. I'm coming from Myanmar.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just floating.
I had a friend who just did that. She just got back from doing 3 years.
Wow.
Traveler. I mean, she was able to work while she was, you know,
remotely, that's the dream.
But she just went for 3 years, traveled the whole world. She was always different. And I mean, just the best experience. She's in New York. She actually just moved back to New York. So,
I mean, does anyone look at that lady's trip and go, lame?
No.
No.
No. Not a single person.
She's having a blast. And
you know what? You're going to come back and probably create the best special you've created because you're going to have perspective, time to work on it, cut your teeth,
converse, meeting
experiences,
people.
meeting people.
Yeah.
And You're going to dry the market. You're going to dry the Ari market out. There's going to be no supply. You'll build up demand.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. If you don't see me now, you're not going to see me for quite a while.
Yeah. Hey,
right.
Yeah.
You got to think about it that way. Ari, this is a conversation.
We could talk forever.
We could talk forever. This is a conversation I didn't expect, actually, and I'm so glad that we had an opportunity to do it.
I play a heel online, so
yeah.
When you talk to me, it's like, oh.
Well, actually, I never thought ill of you. I just was, I was curious about some things. Like, oh, I wonder why Tucker Carlson. Yeah, Tucker Carlson.
Oh, right.
An interesting choice. But you watch your special, and it's clear that you're on the team of common sense, humanity, and being pragmatic about the way that you look at the world. And I can appreciate you said, hey, listen, I don't watch the fucking news, haven't in years. That's something I wish I could do, but I really appreciate your perspective, and I've enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
We're gonna
America's
see you in March.
Sweetheart is
okay.
Yeah,
I will text you. We will be there for sure. Thank you very much for the offer. Yeah. We'll take you up on it. I want to come see.
If I can find some Molly for you, I will. But I'm just coming into town, so
well,
I don't know if we'll be
you're
able
coming
to.
Into town, mushrooms. So we'll take care of it.
Okay.
We'll take care of you. Okay,
yeah.
This is our turn.
Yeah, we'll
let
take
us
care
treat
of you.
And when you wake up the next morning, we'll take you for some fantastic breakfast and burgers.
Yes,
if you can see, if you can see straight. Listen, we just went to Bill Murray last night. Chrissy and I did, and we're lucky Chrissy showed up today. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, really? Tying it on. Nice, Chrissy.
Yeah, why not?
Ari's brand new special, America's Sweetheart, is now streaming on the mega comedy platform, the Netflix. And he's also got his podcast, You Be Trippin', available on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can check out his. It is a fascinating podcast. I've listened to a couple of episodes. I will now go listen to the Tucker episode. Permission granted, Tucker Carlson.
You granted yourself
permission.
I will
hide in the corner and listen. I'm granting myself
and the Harlan one. Go to the Harlan one, too.
That's the one I'm actually interested in listening to, is the Harlan one. Ari, we'll see you in a couple weeks. You are welcome back anytime, my friend. Thank you so much.
Enjoy Nashville.
And thanks. Thanks for your perspective. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Wow. Did not expect that conversation from Ari, and I'm sure I'm glad that we had him on because
I have
a new level of fandom for Mr. Ari, and I can't wait to see him. I hope that we get to go to the show here in Atlanta. I'm going to have Astra text him, so don't get too excited. If he gives us tickets, we're going to go. Maybe even if he doesn't give us tickets, then we'll go regardless.
Yeah, we're going no matter what.
Yeah,
I've got it on the calendar.
I don't think I've ever seen comedy at the Tabernacle.
Oh, you haven't?
I've never seen comedy at the Tabernacle.
I actually saw Joe Rogan there.
You saw Joe Rogan at the Tabernacle?
And I, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How long
years
ago?
Years ago.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
And what did you think?
It was funny.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. Look at that. Chrissy's at the Tabernacle.
That's
watching.
My part of town, you know.
That is. It was my part of town for a long time, too. But then you get kids and you go north. That's what happens. Everybody goes north when they have kids. For understandable reasons.
Yeah.
There's more land. You got, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to get into all the local politics here. But Ari was, I thought, a very fascinating character.
Me, too.
Really
a great
funny.
Time talking
and
to him.
I'm so glad that we had a chance to have him on. And I hope he does come back. That could have been a conversation that went on for 2 hours, if I'm being honest. But we don't get that much time with guests. We're no Joe Rogan. Ari will spend 4 hours with Joe, but he won't spend 1 hour with us. Thanks, Ari. Appreciate it. I'm kidding, of course. All right, so all of Ari's information is going to be down in the show notes. I would certainly appreciate it if you go check out his new special, and I know he would too, America's Sweetheart, his tickets to his farewell tour.
Yeah, farewell
Did you know
tour.
His farewell, it's called his farewell tour?
I did. I just looked it up after we spoke to him.
I thought that was interesting that we just did a farewell episode a couple days ago, and now look at that. Ari's here doing his farewell tour.
Well, I guess he's going
tour.
On a big travel expedition.
And I wish him...
Good for him. That sounds fun.
When I saw that he was taking a break, when I listened to his podcast, and then I kind of put two and two
Which
together...
Which is called You Be Trippin'.
You Be Trippin', yeah. Mm-hmm. When I saw that he was taking a break, the first thing that I thought was, oh, I hope there's no like health issues or anything like that. Hope he's not taking off because there's something that he needs to go do health-wise. But by all indications, he's just going to...
Do it.
Soak it all up.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. And
Why
he's
not?
Right. He's right about this. You should do that before you get to the villages, not after mm-hmm. you get to the villages. Because there are so many times that I'm traveling and with older people, or I see older people,
yes.
and they're not having the time of it that they could have had mm-hmm. they done this 30 years earlier. That's not no knock on them. It's just like, he's right. I don't want to be that person. I would rather do it now, have the memories, and then do what I can when I get older than wish that I had done all of that mm-hmm. and trying to do it as I get older. Ari Schaefer, very funny. All the information in the show notes, as it always is. Thank you very much for coming in, Ari. We certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah.
AriSchaefer.com, America's Sweetheart, tickets on sale now, and You Be Trippin', all of that shit. Go check it out. Also, tune in this week as Chrissy and I delve more into our experience with Bill Murray and the Blood Brothers and what an experience it was. Average age in the crowd, at least where we were standing, 62.
It was.
62.
I always in the bathroom and the woman was talking about our cataracts.
Yeah.
I was
how things have changed.
Times have changed.
Yeah, usually at most concerts, you go into the bathroom and you see people exchanging blow. Right. Yeah, you got a doobie? Can I hit that? I got any shrooms? You know, these people were talking about their cataracts or doing the Trump dance.
There's a couple guys
doing the Trump dance. Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill himself is 74 years old. He's no spring chicken. But he looked good out there. I do have to give it to him.
Did.
He looked good out there. He went the whole, you know, he went full bore the whole
More
time.
More cowbell.
More cowbell. Bink, 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 bink. Well, you know, I don't want to down on Bill because I know he's doing his thing, but it's clear that what Bill did is he found a band that he really, really likes, and he said, I want to help you guys out a little bit.
Yeah, let's go on tour.
Let's
I'll
go
sell
on
the tickets.
Tour. I'll sell the tickets. You guys take the cash. I'll be at the Ritz. You'll be at the Red Roof Inn. I'll take the private plane. You take the tour bus rented at U-Haul. You guys do the load in, load out. I'll be there 15 minutes before the show starts. And but, you know, hey, listen, I'm sure if I'm in the Blood Brothers, I'm not complaining one bit.
I've been
doing this all my life at, like, shitty little dive bars. And finally, I'm selling out bigger venues. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter because now I get to hang out with Bill Murray. And I'm sure there are some stories to tell. Yeah. Oh, to be backstage at the Bill Murray show. All right, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Text us questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, or leave us a voicemail, and you can be on the next episode of The Commercial Break. Make it short, make it brief. Don't say your name if you don't want your name heard. TCBpodcast.com, all the audio, video, at The Commercial Break on Instagram, and YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. All the videos right there on the YouTube channel. I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye. Goodbye.